I'm going to take for a subject today, following Christ, or Christ follower. How many Christ followers do we have in the house today? Say it with me, Christ followers. As we pray, Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for you speaking to us today, even through your young people. Thank you for youth that still love you, Jesus. Thank you for them being bold and on fire for you. Thank you, God, that you continue to raise them, lift them up, protect them, encourage them. And when they're not very encouraged, God, send someone to speak a word of encouragement to them. I thank you, God, that suicide and depression will not be a part of our children's life. I thank you that they are more than overcomers, that they are more than conquerors through you, that they can do all things because you give us the strength. And Father, for that, we bless you, we honor you, and we praise you, and we give you glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we decree it, and we say amen. And give him a praise right where you are. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And I've been thinking about this message because we've been focusing on purpose and God's purpose for our lives. And some of us have been discovering our purpose and others have been gaining greater knowledge about God's plan and purpose for our lives. And not only is not simply enough to learn, you know, that what your purpose is, but then after we find out what our purpose, God wants us to make sure that we start doing our what he's placed on the earth to do. Amen. Say it with me. I need to do what God has placed me on the earth to do. Yeah, because we spent the first part of the month just learning about God's purpose for our lives, but then we don't want to stop there. We want to find out and further that by doing what God has called us to do, because we don't want to be just hearers only. We want to be doers as well. So we've been saying, okay, God, you raising us up and you're placing us in our heart and might have this gift or this talent and might be called to do this, and I just want to say yes to your will. We learn that God looks past a lot of the stuff on the outside. I wrote it like this. The Lord searches our hearts and sees past the surface to see our potential. And all of us have potential. Say it with me. I have potential. Now, you really believe that? Yeah, you've got potential. Well, what does potential look like? Potential is that capacity that's down on the inside of us. It's that possibility that's on the inside of us. It's that power that God has given us that hasn't yet been realized. But when we recognize that God has called us and he sees past all of our stuff and sees us, that's why I like that one song. He said, "You thought I was worth saving? You thought I was worth keeping?" Man, oh man, when they get to that part, you know, you thought I was to die for? Man, I get excited about that, amen? Because God saw past all your stuff and said, you're worth dying for. Somebody give him a shout in this house because, I mean, give him a real good shout because he thought you were to die for. So when I see this passage, and it lets me know that God loves us greatly and to the point to where he says, I see potential in you. Now, I kind of defined how we tap into that potential because we recognize it's not just a overnight fast thing. There's no shortcuts to coming to that potential. But there's some things that can shorten your distance to potential. And I wrote it like this. Our potential is revealed as we say yes to God's invitation. God says, come. When we say yes, potential begins to be, because a lot of us didn't know we could do what we could do until we said yes to God. You didn't know you could get your education, and you said, God says, I want you to get your education. You said, yes, God. Next thing you know, he opens the door. We didn't know that we could get the job or start our business until God says, I want to show you something different. We said, yes, God. And guess what? Man, it opens the door for potential to be revealed in your life. Can I get a good amen in the house? Here's what God's word says in 2 Chronicles. It says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts. He's looking for somebody to strengthen their hearts that they're fully committed to him. And all you've got to do is believe in him. Now, this person he was dealing with, because I usually only want to do the A part, but the B part says, and what a fool you've been. From now on, you're going to be at war. This is one of the kings that was talking about the very fact that I want to do it my way. And God says, no, I want you to do it. I want you to do it God's way. And God knows how to show you how to take a situation that it looks dim. He knows how to turn it around and bless you in the very midst of it. Somebody give him praise for that. Hallelujah. So I recognize that it's important for us to hear the voice of God like the disciples did, because the disciples in the book of Matthew 4, and about the 20th verse, it says that the response they gave to God, talking about their potential, God saw something in Peter, and even though Peter had some issues, God saw something in Peter. That's why I know I can be used. God sees something in you in spite of the way you act, the way you look, if you curse or not. He still sees something in you if you get high or not. Are we coming down your row yet? He sees something in you in spite of all that you do. And he saw something in Peter. He saw something in Andrew. And he says, come, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. You've been fishing for fish. That's been your living. But I want to make you fishers of people. Can I let you know it's important for people to receive the gospel message? It's important for people to receive the good news. And when I think of statistics, I wrote a couple down, that 3 out of 4 Americans say they believe in God. 3 out of 4, that's about 75%. And then 62% say they are Christians. That's 240 million people in America say they're Christians. And I say to myself, if America has 240 million people that are naming the name of Christ, certainly change ought to take place in America. If that many people are naming the name of Christ, then we ought to see change in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our families. Can I get a witness in the house? That was about 3 or 4 people. But obviously, the people that talk about that I'm a born-again Christian, maybe they're not a wholehearted follower of Christ, because wholehearted followers of Christ make a difference, because we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We make a difference wherever we go. Can I get a witness? It wasn't always that way with me. I remember when I was in my teens, and there was this group of girls. My sister was one of them, my older sister. She, one of the young ladies, I still remember their names. One was Nancy, one was Mary, and the other was Nikula. So you know I can't be making this up. It was a name like Nikula. She might be watching this, actually. But I remember them. They stood out because they kind of reminded me of Adriana. You know, they had a bold witness. And this group just hung out, and they were wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. They were wholehearted followers to the point that their worship was wholehearted. Their hands would go up. The kids would be doing all other kinds of things, and we would be doing all other kinds of things, but they would be serious about their walk with God. And when it came to their commitment to God, not just on Sunday, but during the week, have you ever known people like that, that they were serious about their walk with God? They were serious about their walk with God, and not only through their worship, but in their witness, but also they shared their faith. Say it with me. They shared their faith when the Spirit prompted them. And one day they were having it was a revival, and I was attending. They all were attending. And they cornered me up. And I just wasn't where they were. You know, I don't know if I was lukewarm, or certainly wasn't hot, certainly wasn't cold, but I wasn't following like they were following. They asked me a question. They said, are you saved? I wanted to say, saved from what? And they said, well, are you a follower of Christ? And well, I responded something like this. I said, well, you know, I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I go to church. And they said, we didn't ask you if you go to church. I said, well, I go to Sunday school too. Then I went on to say that, well, I am the musician, and I play for the choir, and I play for testimony service. And they said, we didn't ask you. That's all good. But I said, my parents go to this church. They're leaders at this church. I said, that's not what I ask you. I said, are you saved? And, man, you know, I began to think about the very question, and it actually kind of irritated me a little bit. And she says, well, you know, I told her, well, I believe in God. And you know that there are a lot of people that believe in God, but they haven't made a commitment to God. And then she had a scripture because they carried their big Bibles around with them. And her scripture to me, she says, well, you know, the Bible says that even demons believe and they tremble. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then she hit me with this scripture that I'll never forget. She says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He says, on judgment day, many will say to me, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Right now she got my attention. Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And then, you know, didn't we play the organ? Didn't we go to church? Didn't we go to Sunday school? We even showed up on Youth Sunday. Can I preach today? But he will say, depart from me. Why? You workers of iniquity. I didn't know you. Doing stuff doesn't make you a Christian. Being religious doesn't make you a Christian. Going through the do's and the don'ts don't make you a Christian. And I began to recognize that she had stepped on a nerve that I really didn't want anybody to step on. And actually, she was getting on my nerve. And finally, when she was ready to go, I was like saying, you know, I'm glad you getting out of here. Don't be bothering me no more with that stuff. I ain't ready. Any of you all ever been there? Don't come that stuff. I don't know why you messing with me, bothering people's privacy anyway. And then she says something to me that I'll never forget. She says, Wayne, that's my middle name. Dad's name is Jerry, so that's why I got that. And she says, Wayne, I'm going to be praying for you. And then she says, remember, God loves you. And I'm thinking like, man, they got all in my business. Talking about God loves me. And then I thought to myself, even now, you know, because after I went on beginning to think about that, I said, wow, these people are serious about their walk with God. They're not just going to church. These young people that are serious about their commitment to God, I said, I'm not ready right now, but when I get ready, I want to live like they live for Christ. All in, not holding anything back, totally committed to God. And I think God wants us to live like that. Are you with me today? Thus, we have this message, all in. I believe God wants. What would happen if we had a bunch of fired up people starting at Abundant Faith, that we were excited and passionate, wholehearted believers in Christ? Our worship was fire. It was on 10. Not only was our worship on fire, but our fellowship and then our ministry, we were ready to serve. We would change America. Can I get a witness? Somebody give God a shout. Give him a shout in the fired up section. So let me ask this question. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? You know, more than just simply a Christian. And I'm just saying that because, you know, some say, well, you know, how do you know if you're a Christian? And say, well, and in America, I call it cultural Christians because they say, well, I'm not a Muslim and I'm not a Hindu, so I guess I must be a Christian. How many know it don't work like that? You know, you got to know him. You know, there's a scripture that I love because I like to talk about those salvation scriptures, especially the ones that brought me into the kingdom of God. One is from the book of Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9. I think it's somewhere in there. It says, for by, help me read it, by grace you have been saved. Through what? Saved. And that it is a soul. I remember her saying it, but you know, 40 years later, this is still in my heart. So that's how tough they ministered to me. Because they said, well, don't you want to be saved? And I was thinking to myself, I don't know if I want to be saved just right now. Right now, I'm just a seeker. Because how many times, you know, you don't want to say yes to God, but you don't want to say fully no to the devil? Because that don't sound, they say, you just in rebellion. Well, I said, well, I'm just seeking right now. She said, how do you seek to be saved? All you got to do is ask him. I'm thinking like, I just wish y'all would get out of my business. Wish y'all would get out of my business. But I'm thinking, like, if all you got to do is ask him, you know, to save you, and because you're saved by grace and it's a gift of God, that means that you ask him and he gives you that gift. What an amazing, how good is that news? You're on your way to hell, and what Christ did for you paid the price, the penalty in full on your behalf, and all you've got to do is accept what he did for you, and you can go forth in freedom? And we've got that message, and we won't share it? Come on, somebody. God is calling us to share this message in this last hour. I didn't get it that day, but it was later on, and I thought about the seed that was sown. How many of you all need to sow some seeds? You know some young people that need to hear the gospel message, and the gospel message is simple. For by grace you have been saved through faith in Christ Jesus, the finished work of the cross, the redemptive work on the cross, and not by yourself, but it's a gift that you receive from God. Ephesians 2 and 9, it says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And that's, I love that one. It goes on and says, you know, you can't even boast about it because you didn't do it. Thank you, Jesus. So if I boast, it's in Christ. God, thank you for bringing me out of darkness and putting me in the marvelous light. I give you praise. I bless you. That's why the church should always be praising and giving God glory and honor. Somebody give him glory right where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 10 and 9 says this, and it says that it is that if you would, now let me give you the backdrop on it. It says the word of God is nigh you and even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Well, what word is that? That is if you confess with your mouth the Lord. Another, open your mouth. Don't be ashamed. And sometimes people are ashamed of Christ and ashamed to be called Christians. Are y'all still with me today? And something where I don't like the name because, you know, this one was a Christian. If they say they're a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. I'm like, please. You know, it's important that we recognize that the word Christian is found in the Bible several times. And one, it talked about, I love they were calling them Christians and even actually identifying them with Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah. And they identify with him. They said they are Christians. They're Christ. Like, how many of you all wouldn't like to be identified as being like Christ? No, count me in. The other is that Paul was talking to the king, King Agrippa, and Paul broke it down so much. He said, this is what Christ has done on our behalf. And the king looked at Paul and says, he says, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, I feel a preach coming on. Somebody give God a shout in this house. Then there's that passage in the book of Peter. They think it's 1 Peter, and they probably have it on the screen. It's this one. It says, you know, and people going to talk stuff because, you know, I ain't trying to hate on nobody, but they try to hit you with this, you know, the one dude, I won't say his name, but he said, I like Christ, but I don't like Christians. And then people try to say, well, I don't want to be. Well, he wasn't a believer. So why would we care about what everybody else says? You're going to be come against. People are going to come against you. People are not going to agree or understand what God is doing on the inside of you. Here's what the scripture says. It says, but it is no shame to suffer for being a what? Christian. It's no shame to be a suffering for being a what? Christian. So therefore, when you tell them, I'm sorry, I just don't do that. Well, you Christian, it's okay. Yeah, I'm like Christ. You think you all that? No, I don't think I'm all that. And then when you make a mistake, guess what? They're coming at you again. I thought you were saved. Getting quiet and I thought you were saved section. When you make a mistake, they say, well, I thought you were saved. No, here's what I like about Christianity is that you don't have to hide your mistakes. You can go boldly to the throne of grace who understands what you've been through, and he'll set you free from it and send you on your way. Somebody give God a praise in this house. This is what I like about it. I used to be in condemnation, used to be in shame, but thank God that he set me free. And who the Son sets free, give me a shout, is free indeed. Somebody give him a praise in the free indeed section. Hallelujah. Woo. Boy, I feel a preach coming on. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And you're going to suffer at some point because someone's not going to agree. And here's all those that are going through. Someone says, well, you messed up and you're supposed to be a Christian. Well, can I share something with you? You know, they don't say that about, you know, and I use the example cows. You know, if, for example, you know, the cow's just born. It's a newborn cow. And, you know, it's a calf. And big cow just had a little calf. You know how it goes, right? And then the calf is just comes out and he walks and he stumbles and falls. You know, it would be stupid for someone to say, you supposed to be a cow. Look at you. No, he still is a cow. He's just a weak cow. He's just a fallen cow. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. If you fall, don't stay down there. Get back up again. Somebody give him a real good praise in this house. I'm a believer. Not based upon the fact that I get everything right, but I know a Savior named Jesus Christ who died for every one of my sins. And I give him praise, I give him honor, and I give him glory. Give him a praise in this house. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I'm all in, not holding anything back. Held back for too long, and man, now that I'm in, and when people even talk stuff, I look at the scripture and say, you know, it's no shame to suffer as being a Christian, but praise God for the privilege of being called by his name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So let me share this with you now. Oh, I gotta go back to Romans for a minute. Go back to Romans. I know it's kind of hard to do, but it says, the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart. What word is that? That if thou would confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because he says, because from the mouth confession is made unto salvation. From the heart man believeth into righteousness. I want you to know that God's word is right. And all you've got to do is stand on his word. Sometimes we make Christianity so difficult and it's not that hard. You've got to say, God, you've done the work and I accept what you've done as full payment of all my sins. Are you with me today? I'm preaching better than you, amen, but it's a good thing to walk in that freedom. Bless God in the house. Hallelujah. So my next question is simply this. Why does following Christ matter? You know, we talked about the very point is that, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? And now that we know what it means to be a Christian, according to this scripture, you know, we can go to, you know, Nicodemus and, you know, Jesus told Nicodemus what he said. You must be born again. You know, and Nicodemus was like, well, you know, what are you talking about? Can I go back into my mother's womb? Nope, nope, nope. That which is born of the water is that, that's the natural, but what is born of the spirit, you know, that's what we're talking about, like the wind comes and blows. And man, Jesus was breaking it down for him, and he was still trying to understand what it meant to be born again. I want you to know today, folks, you still must be born again. So why does following Christ matter? Let me give you the first point. Okay. Let me give you another point then. Why does following Christ matter? Following Christ matters because eternity matters. A lot of times we only focus on, we focus on the now, and we focus on the very fact that, you know, everything is good, and we try to, you know, say that everybody is going to heaven, but that's not what Scripture tells us. Can I just be real in the house? And we've swung from one side of the pendulum where it says, fire, damnation, hell, and brimstone over here. A long time ago, back when I was growing up, man, you'd hear some hell stories. Hallelujah. Yeah. They told me I was gonna bust hell wide open. I don't know what that meant. I know it wasn't good, though. We went from here, busting hell wide open, fire and brimstone on a regular basis, to way over here, to everybody that's born is saved because God is a God of love. And can I let you know that he is a God of love, but there is an eternal damnation. And those that don't receive him will suffer that eternal damnation. Well, it gets quiet whenever I talk about that. So there's a far right, and then there's a far left. And I believe that we must recognize that This needs to be shared, but it's got to be preached in love. Are you with me today? Even though this is a reality, you know, the Bible says that because he loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So why does all this matter? Because people matter to God. Your neighbor matters to God. Whew, my God, I feel his presence. Say it with me, my neighbor matters to God. Your classmate matters to God. If they don't know Jesus Christ, how will they get to know him if all 62%, 240 million people, all they do is just sit to themselves and never tell anybody? What if those four girls hadn't told me about Jesus Christ and had been adamant about what the word says about my relationship with him, that he would say to me, depart from me, you works of iniquity, I never knew you. I needed that. I didn't like it at the time, but thank you four ladies that told me about Jesus Christ. Y'all might not be happy, but I'm happy about it. Let me ask the question, when's the last time you loved someone enough to tell them the truth? When's the last time you loved them enough to tell them that, you know, God has given you chances and you've denied those chances, but I want you to know that one day he's coming back. Am I doing okay? Yeah. Are you glad you came? Yeah. Somebody give God one more praise. When I think about the importance of sharing the gospel, because even while I was messing up and even when, you know, I was not doing God's will, I still knew God existed, even when I was in my rebellion. And when I didn't want to say yes fully to him, you know, when I would get in trouble, I'd mess some things up. But it was only God's grace, because people matter. I believe that God is holding back his second coming until a lot more people get saved, get delivered, get set free. And we're the ones that are going to usher in his second coming. We've got to tell the world, open our mouths and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's ready to save you even when you're ready. Somebody give God praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! People matter to God. People matter to God. People matter to God. Drug addicts matter to God. Those that are on methamphetamines, the one that's in the corner right now, hung over from last night and in the midst of depression, matter to God. Thank you, God. Religious people, they matter to God. God wants to bring them to a place of relationship. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. People matter. They say, well, they've messed up so bad. I dare you point your finger at anyone. When you think about how God has saved you and delivered you and set you free, if he set you free, then certainly you ought to be able to pray for someone else that God has mercy on their souls. People matter to God. Can I challenge you and pray that people matter to our church? If anybody ever comes in, they matter. Thank you, God. God sent his not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world was condemned already. But that the world through him might be saved. Man, that's good news. That's good news. Why does following Christ matter? Because, Christ's followers impact people. What does that look like? We're getting ready to do something that's coming up, and I always work with my wife when she tells me what God's put on her heart. Whether you know it or not, she's been interceding for you every day at her and Miss Adeline, maybe a few others that come, interceding for you. 6:30 in the morning, from 6:30 to 7:30, here at the church, she prays over the prayer requests, prays over the seats. Why? We're believing God for a major move in the next few months. We're believing God for a supernatural revival. We're believing God for a heartfelt, passionate people of God would rise up and share the gospel with the world, that on the very upcoming day, even Resurrection Sunday, that there won't be room to place the people. Why? Because we've opened our mouths and declared that Jesus Christ is Lord. We recognize that people will respond if you just open your mouth and tell them. Somebody give God a shout in this house. He's worthy of it. I said give him a shout in this house. Woo! Y'all can stand on your feet. I gotta let you go. Woo! Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to think in your mind about who you want to see saved. Get somebody in your mind, real good sinner. You don't have to think hard. Maybe one you used to party with. Maybe one you used to kick it with. Maybe one you're still kicking it with.
Had some crazy dreams, so they didn't make sense, but then he told me a dream he had, and then I shared a dream that I had the night before. And most of the times when God gives me a revelation or he interprets the dream for me, when Pastor said get somebody on your mind that Christ has put on your heart to share, because we need to be sharing, we really need to be sharing. And so he showed me a dream, and in this house, first I didn't understand the house, if it was my natural house or if it was a house of the Lord or what, but he showed me that the furniture was being rearranged. Mm. That it's time to rearrange some stuff in the house. And so I was moving furniture from room to room and it fit, but in my natural eyes, it didn't look like it matched. But, you know, in our natural eyes, things don't make sense anyway. But in the spirit realm, it makes lots of sense. So what you see in your natural eyes may not make sense, but in the spirit realm, it makes sense. So who God sends you to may not look right, may not feel right, may not seem like it fit, but it does in the spirit realm. So I would ask you to ask God to give you spiritual eyes, spiritual discernment, spiritual
insight.
That when he sends you to somebody, you got to be willing. God. You got to have a want to, first of all. Lord, I want to see somebody saved. I want to see that neighbor saved. I want to see that relative saved. I want to see my husband saved, my wife saved, my children saved. List goes on and on and on. But that God is ready to change some things around in the house.
So rearrangement going on.
Rearrange some things in the
house.
Thank
you, God.
So
thank you, God.
Say, Lord, rearrange.
Rearrange
some things in the house.
Things in our house.
Hallelujah. Be obedient to when he gives you that opportunity to seize the moment. As long as you have breath in your body, you can win someone to Christ just by your testimony. We're going to talk more about that again later, okay? But look for God to start rearranging some things in your house, okay? May even start here in this house. In this house. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor.